Thank you, Steve, for those kind words. We need a bigger parking lot. Randy's car is sticking out in the road. I'm sitting here looking at it and thinking, I hope you have a back end on that car when we're through. Just got back from Minnesota. We spent last weekend at the Tri-State Reunion, where we enjoyed fellowship and love, where we enjoyed testimonies, where we enjoyed prayer services, where we witnessed a baptism, and we witnessed a blessing of a baby, just like this morning. And we had many inspired sermons. And one of the sermons was by Brother Beam. And Brother Beam in his sermon asked a question. And I'm going to take that question that Brother Beam asked and base my sermon on it this morning. Because I believe it's an important question that each one of us must think about. It's a question we must ask ourselves and honestly give an answer to ourselves. We don't need to fool ourselves. We don't need to try to gloss it over. We need to be brutally honest. Because brothers and sisters, our soul's salvation depends upon it. And that's why you're here this morning, I know. Because you're concerned about your soul's salvation. Otherwise, why take the time to get out of bed, a nice, warm, cuddly bed, and come out this morning to hear me preach a sermon if you weren't worried, concerned about your soul's salvation? That's why we're here. And so the question I want you to ask yourself today is, how do we stand with God? How do we stand with God today? You know, we can't look back a week or so and say, hey, I was in good shape then. You know, I was visiting someone or I was doing good to my brother last week. We can't rest upon our laurels. I want to know, how do we stand with God today? This very minute, search your lives, search your mind, and answer truthfully, how do I stand with God? Have you ever asked yourself this question before? Has it ever entered into your mind? Well, it really should. Because of the lateness of the hour, because of the closeness of the second coming of Christ, and above all, because your soul's salvation depends upon the answer that you give. We need to ask ourselves this very hard question and then answer them truthfully. And I've taken this one question, how do we stand with God, and I've broken it down into a number of smaller questions that maybe we can chew on. You know, the famous saying is, you can't eat an elephant only one bite at a time. And so we're going to take some questions and ask ourselves honestly and see how we stand. And I hope that when we walk out of this door at the end of this hour, that we're going to say, hey, I'm in good shape with God, or I'm not so good, and maybe I'm going to try to improve this next week or this next day. One, have you spiritually been born of God? And we find that question asked in the Book of Mormon. And we find that question is asked to the members of the Church of Christ. It's not asked of those in the world. It's asked of us. Have you spiritually been born of God? You may have went down into the waters of baptism. You may have had hands laid upon your head for the reception of the Holy Ghost. But this doesn't mean that you're truly converted. Remember the story of Peter? Now, Peter walked with God. Peter walked side by side with Christ. Peter saw Him do many miracles. He saw Him raise the dead, make the blind see, make the deaf hear, cure leprosy in a mere word. Peter seen all these mighty miracles, and yet Christ told him, "Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." It takes more than just going down into the waters of baptism. It takes more than just having hands laid upon our heads for the reception of the Holy Ghost. Maybe we better skip over this one. This one's not an easy one, is it? Have we spiritually been born of God? The second question I'd like to ask you this morning, have you received His image in your countenance? Can people tell by just looking at you that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Can they look at your walk, your talk, your actions, and your deeds and say, there truly is a child of God? Do you have that countenance of Christ upon you? And third, have you experienced a mighty change in your hearts? Are you any different today than you was last week? Are you any different today than you were when you went down into the waters of baptism? Are you any different today than when you first heard about Jesus Christ and His message and His salvation that He holds out to you? Are you any different today? Is your life different? Do you think differently? Do you react differently? Do you love differently? Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'd like to read out of the Book of Mormon, if you would turn with me to page 224. We'll start with the third verse. This is out of the book of Mosiah, chapter 3. And also we know of their surety and truth, because the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. Ask yourselves this question this morning. Do I have in my heart the disposition to do good or the disposition to do evil? And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come, and were it expedient, we could prophesy all things. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken unto us, and has brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with exceeding great joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God. Ask yourselves this question this morning to see how you stand today. Are you willing to enter into that covenant? Oh, I know we said when we went down into the waters of baptism that we're going to do His will, that we're going to change our ways, that we're going to do only the things that God wants us to do. We made that promise, almost every one of us, I'll bet. How soon have we forgotten? How soon have we drifted? How soon have we forgotten that promise that we made to our Heavenly Father? And to be obedient to His commandments, and in all things that He command us, all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken of by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. And that's what's going to happen, brothers and sisters, to you and I, if we can't answer these questions in a positive manner. If we fall short on any of these questions, we're going to have to suffer the wrath of God. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to risk our soul's salvation? Are we willing to risk our soul's salvation? I'd like to read Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, starting with the 21st verse. If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Have we put off the old man? Ask yourself that question this morning. Have I put off that old man? That man that is offensive to our Lord and Savior. That man who will keep me from eternal salvation. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and pure and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Is there place in our lives for the devil to enter in? Or do we, as Christ wants us to do, keep ourselves so full of the Holy Ghost that the devil has no place to enter in? Have we got that little space in us reserved for the devil? Have we got that little space reserved in us for sin? Are we saying to ourselves, it won't hurt if I sin just a little? The scriptures say, sin a little, and I'll be beat with a few stripes, but it'll be well with me at the last day. Do we believe that? And if we believe that, brothers and sisters, woe, woe, woe unto us. Four, do we exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created us? Christ was sent by our Father to redeem us from the fall. Do we believe this? Do we believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins? Do we believe that Christ suffered pain, persecution for you and I? We must believe this, brothers and sisters, if we want to have eternal salvation. If we want to save our souls, we must believe that Christ died for our sins. Do we believe that through obedience that we can be saved at the last day? Ask yourself this question. Do I truly believe that through obedience to Jesus Christ that I can be saved? That through obedience to Jesus Christ, I can have a place on the right hand of God. I'd like to read Romans. The 5th chapter, starting with the fifth verse, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." He died for the ungodly. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we have a chance through repentance to attain that glory that Christ has for us in heaven? "For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." In Alma, we are told that there were many who died firmly believing that their souls were redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went out of the world rejoicing, the Book of Mormon says. Will we be able to go out of the world rejoicing because we know and believe in our hearts Jesus Christ died for our sins and given us that opportunity to return once again into the presence of God? Fifth, can you look up to God with clean hands and a pure heart? Oh, ask yourself that question. Are your hands clean? Is your heart pure? Are there drifting into our lives those things that dirty our hands? Those things that make our heart not pure anymore? And there are many things, brothers and sisters, out in this world today that will do just that. That will do just that. Book of Mormon on page 173, the 48th through the 50th verses. Says, "But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart." And I pray God that he's speaking to us, that we are part of those who are pure in heart. But we need to ask our question. Are we pure in heart? Are we truly pure in heart? Or do we fall somewhat short of that pureness that God requires of you and I? "Look unto God with firmness in mind, and pray unto him with exceeding faith, that he will console you in your afflictions, and he will plead your cause and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God and feast upon his love, for he may," if your minds are firm forever. God is wanting to send us his love. He's wanting to send us his protection. He's wanting to send us these very things that's talked about here. He's wanting to console our souls. We must be pure in heart to be able to receive those things. We must be pure in heart and have clean hands to qualify ourselves to receive those things that are talked about here in the Book of Mormon. The sixth question I'd like you to answer to yourself today is, have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God? And what is keeping yourself blameless? The scriptures say, let not sin enter into your life. Let not sin enter into your life. Fight against sin. Keep it at a distance. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him It is sin. You know, we've been sitting in this congregation for years and years, some of us. And we have heard from this pulpit those things that we should or should not do. And if we are doing those things that we shouldn't do, or if we're not doing those things that we should do, we're told here it's sin. It's sin. Sin of omission is just as great as sin of commission. Just as great. Just as great. Again, I want to turn to Romans. In the 6th chapter of Romans, starting with the 12th verse, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." You know, temptation is always out there. Temptation is always drawing you and I towards sin. But we're told here, we shouldn't obey it. We shouldn't succumb to that temptation. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness, as righteousness unto God." That's who we should yield ourselves to. God. Yield ourselves to God and not to the devil. Be humble. Be obedient to God and not humble and obedient to the devil. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin?" And I believe, brothers and sisters, that there are those who believe that. We're under grace, so we don't need to worry so much about our little sins. But it tells us here, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. For you and I who sin knowingly will have to suffer the consequences." Suffer the consequences when we stand before that judgment bar of Christ and wish to hear, "Well done, O good and faithful servant." But hear, all that sin that was in your life that you could not get rid of, that temptation that kept coming upon you that you did not fight. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Have we become servants of righteousness? Ask yourself that question this morning. Salvation depends upon the answer. Have we become sons of righteousness? Are we always doing the right thing? Are we always living right? Are we always pleasing our Heavenly Father? Have you done all you can to live a Christ-like life? Each one of us has a duty to live a Christ-like life. You ministry that are here in the congregation today, you have a great responsibility. A large responsibility. And that is to show by your life, to show by your words, to show by your actions and your deeds, a good example to the flock. We will be We, the ministry, will be held accountable for those words that we say. We will be held accountable for those actions that we do that might draw souls away or discourage the members of the body of Christ. We must always be mindful of that responsibility that God, through His calling, has given to me, to you, the ministers that are sitting in this congregation. Lead by example. And the membership has a great responsibility also. And that responsibility is to live a Christ-like life. To live and love one toward another. To curb our tongues. To only say those things that are good and pure before our Heavenly Father. Don't judge. Don't be critical. But be forgiving. And slow to anger. And quick to show our love one towards another. That is the duty of the membership of Christ. Ask yourself, are you fulfilling that duty today? If so, God bless you. If not, it's time for us to change. For us to change our lives in such a manner that we will be pleasing to God. We all make mistakes. We all tend to disappoint one another. But forgiveness, brothers and sisters, is the key to that. Forgiveness. Our coming closer to God and to each other when we forgive is like God forgiving me of my sins and transgressions and coming closer to me. We come closer to each other when we forgive each other of those sins and trespasses that we all perceive among ourselves. But when we forgive, brothers and sisters, do as God. Forget it. Don't bring it up again. Seventh question I'd like to answer. Have you been sufficiently humble and stripped yourselves of pride? Do you know that was the number one sin in the Old Testament? Pride was the number one sin in the Old Testament. And we know that in the Book of Mormon, every time, bar none, every time that the Nephites fell from grace, it was because of pride. It was because of pride. Have we put pride out of our hearts? The Book of Mormon in Jacob says, "Oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commands. And let not this pride of your heart destroy your soul." Pride has the power to destroy your soul. Pride has the power to keep you from forgiving each other. Pride has the power to keep you angry with someone. Pride. The number one sin in the Old Testament. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." I want to read out of Mark, the 7th chapter. Starting with the 20th verse, and it says, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man that that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Pride is listed among all these sins that you and I would agree were gross sins. And yet we find that pride is listed right among those. Because it has the power to destroy your soul. The eighth one. Have you done good to your brothers or your neighbors? The second great commandment says to love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And we are told in Matthew to do good to them that hate you. Have we done good to our neighbors? Have we done good to each other? Have we went through our life doing kind things to others? You know, this is what Christ did when he was on earth in that 3.5 years of his ministry. He went about doing kind things to those he come in contact with. Ask yourself this question. Am I kind to my neighbors? Am I kind to my brothers and sisters? Your soul's salvation depends upon the answer that you have in your heart. And then the ninth question. Have ye repented? All these things that I've been talking about can be overcome through repentance. Through repentance. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance will blot out those sins that are in our lives. Those times that we slip. Those times that we find ourselves maybe becoming angry with our brother or our sister. Repent. Repent. And ask God to forgive us of those times which we fall short. Acts 17:30 says, God commanded all men everywhere to repent. And so that covers you and I, doesn't it? And you must have a godly repentance. And you know what a godly repentance is? It's showing through your actions, through your deeds, and through your words that you're truly not taken with that sin anymore. That's godly repentance. Oh, I can do something and say I'm sorry and then go right back and do it again. Am I repentant? Of course not. Of course not. I have to do, as the Bible says, works meet for repentance. And that are the works. Showing the world by our actions, our deeds, and our words that we are repentant. Mosiah 2:16 says, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. Book of Mormon, page 317. Starting with the 55th verse says, woe unto such, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Repent, repent. And I can read many, many verses in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, that tell you and I that we must repent. We're told to preach nothing but repentance to this generation. And why do you think that is? Why do you think that commandment was given? Ask yourselves this morning, have I repented from all those things that I have done within my life that I'm yet not repented of? And then take this opportunity today to take care of that repentance. I have one more scripture I'd like to read, and I'm going to read it in closing. And it's in the Book of Mormon, and it's on page 712, starting with the 88th verse, and this is out of the Book of Mormon, chapter 4. And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. Do we believe and doubt not? Ask yourself that question. We must believe the words of Christ. We must believe the Scriptures, or we find ourselves doubting. And if we doubt, we're going to fall short. And now behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? Who can deny His sayings? Who will rise up against the almighty power of the Lord? Who will despise the works of the Lord? Who will despise the children of Christ? Behold, all ye who are despisers of the works of the Lord, for ye shall wonder and perish. O then, despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord. And ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing. And begin as in times of old, and come down unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. And that's what we need to do. Work out our own salvation. And to work out our salvation, ask yourselves these questions that I ask you this morning to see how you stand with God today. I'd like to close with a poem, and it's by Helen Steiner Rice. It's entitled, Each Day Brings a Chance to Do Better. How often we wish for another chance to make a fresh beginning. A chance to blot out our mistakes and change failure into winning. And it does not take a special time to make a brand new start. It only takes a deep desire to try with all our heart to live a little better and to always be forgiving and to add a little sunshine to the world in which we're living. So never give up in despair and think that you are through, for there's always a tomorrow and a chance to start anew. Thank you very much. Thank you.